Bow your heads in prayer with me. Dear God, we are so happy to come in here this morning. In that song, it says, as long as I'm breathing, I have a reason to praise. But that's not all. We also have a reason because you are breathing. And we come to you today and we just want to lift our voices in that praise. But before we do that, we're going to pray to you the way you taught us. So we're going to do that now. Our Father,
who art in heaven.
Hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
One, two, intro. Two, three, four. Intro, two, three, four. Drums in. Verse one.
Yeah. Children. Life is not fair. Well, I know as a child, I didn't think it was fair that my sisters got to the movie and I didn't get to go. As humans, we want things to be fair. As a teacher, I have to be really careful to make things fair. If I let one student turn in an assignment late, I have to let everybody turn it in late. We want things to be fair. But consider Jesus. In Philippians 2, 6 through 8, he tells us, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Jesus did not demand his rights. He did not hold on to what was fair, but he came to earth to do what was unfair. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. He laid aside everything that was rightfully his so that we, who are rightfully beggars, could become children of a king. Although he was pure, he did nothing wrong. He became sin. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And that was in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He was made sin in order for us to have salvation. As we take communion, let's remember how life is not fair. Jesus did nothing wrong, yet he was punished for our sins. Because of his sacrifice, I can have eternity with God, not the true punishment that I deserve. Praise God that life is not fair. Dear God, thank you so much for this opportunity to pause and remember what you did for us. God, earth was not fair to you, and yet you bore the burdens of our sins so that we could have an eternity with you, God. Thank you. Thank you for the sacrifice you made in Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Talk about worship, we're often thinking of the songs that we all sing together. Well, giving of our money is also a part of worship. We have an opportunity to show God how much we love him by giving our money, and our church makes it so easy. You can do it through an app, Venmo, you can do Zelle, you can pay online, you can put money in the boxes in the offering out in the lobby. But it's so important that we worship God by giving back just a part of what he has blessed us with. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for all that you have given us. Thank you that, you know, we're able to be in this beautiful building. Thank you, God, for how you have blessed us with our jobs, our abilities to take care of our families, our opportunities to serve others. God, thank you for the chance to give back to you just a piece of our money so that you can bless it and multiply it and turn it into ministries and opportunities for us to show the world what an amazing God you are. Just bless us now as we give our tithes and our offerings back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Happy New Year. Can you believe that that season is already past? I mean, what happened? I feel like I can actually breathe now after I broke something. I can actually breathe now, can't you? You know, we had a good time off. We went up to Virginia and visited family. And yesterday I was loading the truck in the snow. And you think it was cold, it was in the teens. And I was thinking, I can't wait to get back to Georgia. And I get down here and it's cold. But, you know. So, here we are. 2024 was great, wasn't it? 2024 was great. But 2025 is going to be the year where Real Life Christian Church steps up and gets busy with the Lord. I think it's time that we started getting real busy. And we need to be busy for the right reasons. And because I believe that, and because I believe in Real Life Christian Church and our mission, this message is going to be a little different than most Sundays. You know, we're going to talk about, you know, the achievements of 2024, but more importantly, we're going to talk about setting goals as a congregation for 2025. Now, I'm not going to set those goals today. You have to come back a few Sundays before you know what those goals are. No pressure, right? So, but I believe it's healthy to have a destination in mind before you start a trip, don't you? I mean, have you ever done that? We're going to the beach. We get in the car. We drive to the beach. No plans, no reservations, and had to leave because there wasn't anywhere to stay. I've done that. We did it when we lived in Virginia. We would drive to Gatlinburg or Pigeon Forge, and I get down there, and I didn't realize it was the Rod Run weekend, and we had to leave and go somewhere else. Or one time we went to Asheville, North Carolina, and they were having some sort of crazy arts festival. And I said, Leslie, we're not staying here. I don't know what they were doing. They were breathing fire, and there was half-naked people everywhere. So we left, and we drove to Gatlinburg, you know. But it's nice to have a plan rather than just set out hoping that you'll get somewhere worthwhile. And somebody wrote, when we are motivated by goals that have deep meaning, by dreams that need completion, by pure love that needs expression, then we truly live. It's great to dream. And it's great for them to have real meaning, things that need to be done. And so let's look at last year, and then we'll talk about 2025 is going to look like. So the first thing I want to talk about is our community services that we provide here with things like, you know, the clothing closet and the food bank. The first thing we'll talk about is real meals. On Tuesdays in 2024, they serve 3,031 meals. Yeah. That's a lot of food. And that's not counting the ones that the people that just work down there ate. They probably ate a lot more than that. And then that's 253 meals a month. Hot meals. Now you think about that. That takes a lot of work. Those ladies get here early on Tuesday and they work all day and then they serve a hot meal for supper. And people really appreciate it. Then the clothing closet, they averaged about 100 families a month coming and getting clothing. So that clothing that you donate, they're in here on Wednesdays. You don't realize the work that goes on down there. They come in here on Wednesdays and they spend all day sorting through that mess. And some people throw some real mess in that bin down there. I mean, I've seen them come out of there with dirty diapers. Yeah. You think it's easy to work in somebody else's junk? But and they go through that stuff and they sort it out and they get it in the closet for people to pick out. So they work really hard. And then there's the food bank. The food bank's been really busy. There was 252 individual families, about 1,300 through the year, for a total of 42,638 pounds of food. That's a lot of food, isn't it? No wonder some of y'all look like me. But I mean, I want you to think about that. That is amazing that our people do that. And it takes a lot of work there, too. You think about moving 42,000 pounds of food. It doesn't just jump in people's cars. It doesn't just get in those boxes. You see, God's greatest resource is his people. And people putting in the time and the effort to see these things happen. And we need to remember that. Those numbers are staggering. And it also shows the need in our community. That there are people hurting and people doing without. And there was times when the food bank couldn't get food. The Atlanta Food Bank was not able to send food, and they were scrambling, even going out and buying food, and we did food drives. You know, those are our community services, but what about our church services? You know, like the Vine, our teen program that's going on down there right now. You all don't see them except for you Sunday. But they're down there right now, and they're worshiping on their own. And out of the Vine, they had three baptisms. We had three teenagers get baptized. It takes 12 volunteers to make that happen through the year and to make those 14 special events that they happen. You see, you don't realize what all goes on with your youth programs and what it takes to make that happen. And then there's the 252 kids over here. There was five of those little fellas got baptized last year. They had 15 special events. And then this is what it takes to make that happen. You know, you got to have two people a week to run the check-in desk. Then two rotating teams in the preschool. And one team for preschool and elementary Sunday school. And lots of volunteers at our special events. I'm proud of the way we do things. We work hard for the Lord here. But I'm going to say that sometimes we can do more. Of course, we got to talk about the adults, don't we? Well, I mean, it wouldn't be fair to just talk about the kids. At the 8:30 service, they sang 208 songs to the Lord. I mean, you think about that. But out of that, it took 10 volunteers to make the 8:30 traditional service work. 10 volunteers. And then there's this 11 o'clock service, the modern service. You know, we had 82 different songs, and 11 of them were new songs you'd never sang before. And out of that, the most sang song was Holy Spirit and Oh Come to the Altar. It takes 26 volunteers through the year to make this happen. 26. And we had 13 adults baptized. And that's what we're here for. I mean, let's look at this total. We had 21 total baptisms at Real Life Christian Church in 2024. You know, you think about that. I'm going to give you some more information as we go through the month of January and into February about the goals that we're going to set. And I think that the most important thing is to remember that our goal should always be growth. All those numbers should be more. We should have more volunteers. We should have more baptisms. But how are we going to make that happen? How are we going to put growth as the goal, and then subcategory everything under it is how we do this? I mean, think about it. When I think about growing, I want to know, why are some people 5 feet tall and some 7? Have you figured that out yet? Or why do some people mature by 18 and some of you are 60 and still immature? I mean, some people never grow up, do they? You know, what was that, the Toys R Us kid? You know? But growth comes from God. And we know that. We know that all growth comes from God. But why do some grow and others thrive? That's the question we're going to seek to answer. There's got to be a reason. I mean, should we think about the why and why not and then focus on how to grow? Growth is an evidence of life, isn't it? You know how to tell when a tree is dead? It quits growing. You know, if I ask God for some lumber that I want to build this great tower, and God had the nerve to give me an acorn, I'd say, now wait a minute, God. You know I love shade. And I love the shadow of a big oak, and the more light, the greater the growth, though, is what he says. If you shade it out and you plant it in the shade, it won't grow. You know what I thought? That means more sweat out in the sun. Peter said this. He said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. Growth has got to be the goal, doesn't it? Growth. And then in Matthew 6:28, Jesus said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. How do they grow? You know, a tall oak grows out of an acorn. A tall oak grows out of an acorn. And sickly oaks grow from sickly acorns. We've got a row of maple trees on our property in Virginia, and there's one maple tree, we call it the witch tree because it's scrawny. And it was just a sick tree. And it just looks about a third the size of the rest. But what did we should have cut the thing down. But now it's grown up and it's about half the size of the rest because it was a sick little tree all its life. And it started from sick from the beginning. And sickly oaks grow from sickly acorns. But costly pearls that we, you know, you love a pearl. How many of you love pearls? I think it's the most fascinating thing that nature creates because it comes from an irritation. It comes from something like getting stuck in your teeth. It's like, you know how you get that something stuck in your teeth and you dig and you dig? And that's what the oyster is going through as it creates this pearl. It's got this thing in there and it wants rid of it. But instead of digging it out, it builds something beautiful. Out of an imperfection comes this beautiful gem. And growth comes from a lot of different sources, and sometimes it's irritation. Sometimes it's aggravation. You know, all a mighty oak is but a nut that stood its ground. Isn't it? Ask any growing city. Any city that has any real growth has insight and worked on growing, hadn't it? They were purposely set out to get people to come. They purposely set out to make the place inviting for move to their city. Sometimes we want to say, would you quit inviting people to move to our city? But the truth is, healthy cities grow. The unhealthy ones are the ones people are moving out of. And the same thing should be true with the church. And, you know, we've got to be careful that today's growth doesn't become a hindrance to tomorrow's developments. We need wisdom and thought to develop a sustained growth program, and that's what we're going to work on through 2025. We're going to work on a program of growth within our congregation that allows for more growth. I'm told that fishes grow in proportion to the environment that they dwell. In other words, if you've got a little aquarium, you've got little fish. You can take that same fish out and put it in a bigger aquarium and it'll grow. But it'll only grow so much. You take him out of that one and put him in another bigger one, it'll grow a little more. And the same thing's true. If you take him out and put him in a pond, he'll probably get eat. But the reality is, the smaller you think, the less you'll grow. The smaller your mind is towards growth, the less you can grow. And I think all too often we think small-minded. With limited diet and limited exercise, we limit our ability to win. We have this phenomenon in the church today called the perpetual babyhood of believers. We got a lot of baby Christians. We have church members that have heard good messages, good gospel messages, week in and week out, went to Sunday school, went to small groups, and you know what? They never grew. Stayed the same. It's sad, isn't it? I mean, I'm good at growing out. But what are we going to do about growing spiritually? These perpetual babes, they need the preacher to pamper, diaper, powder, keep adjusting the temperature of the milk. They need them to be fed and burped. That's what perpetual babes do. They need somebody to hold their hand through life. But the church is supposed to be a nursery, isn't it? I mean, we got one for babies with diapers. And there's a time to set aside childish and become a man, become a father and produce life. You're expected to grow up in the world you live in, but you expect to stay babies in the church. We often fool ourselves that growth is seeing how many babies we can support. How many can you carry around at one time? Some of you, a bunch. Real growth is going from wearing diapers to training pants, from training pants to wetting the bed, then maturing, and discipline and self-control comes in. And then support one another to grow and development. We need to be more than getting fat on milk. We need a goal of growing spiritually. You know, one exercise some perpetual babes get, and they're really good at, is perpetual church babies are good at jumping to conclusions. You're really good at jumping to conclusions, or maybe running down their friends. That's a good sign that you're a perpetual babe. Or sidestepping responsibility. Oh, somebody else will do it. Or living by luck rather than faith. We need better exercise plans, don't we? How many of you set a resolution this year? Because my resolution was not to do that anymore. You know, I saw where one gym said we're not allowing any new members in January because they didn't want them all to influx in on their good members. We don't want them in here disturbing the people that are actually going to be here in February. So they didn't sell any memberships in January. Makes good sense, doesn't it? But here's the thing. We need a plan to go. And if you joined the gym, you would have a plan of what you were wanting to achieve. Wouldn't it be the same spiritually? We need a better plan. If we develop and have a life of producing growth, you know, on a continual basis. Well, Paul has a simple strategy. Paul did, and it's hidden in his writings. There are six steps that will cause sustained growth in your life and within the church. And if you practice these six steps, you will grow. First one, though, is to rejoice. You like that one, don't we? Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Do we do that? God's plan of growth starts with attitudes and thinking patterns. Rejoicing, being happy. I hope you like being happy. Some of you don't look so happy right now. Research says that if you talk to a plant in a rejoicing voice, it causes the plant to grow better. I always thought Leslie was just crazy out there talking to the tomatoes. But apparently it's true. It works. You know, it works. But I want to know who figured it out. And what were people thinking of them? You know. But John 15:11 says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. God designed you to have a full joy tank. He wants you to be happy and joyful. And that's a discipline, isn't it, to keep rejoicing. You must always rejoice. Now, sometimes it's hard, isn't it? Sometimes it's real hard, especially first thing in the morning. Don't ask me to be joyful when I get out of bed. Not till I've had at least two cups of coffee. But rejoice. But that brings us to the second one. He says, rejoice again. And again, I say rejoice. He said it twice. Why use this literary tool of repetition to stress the importance of the point? John 16:24, Jesus goes on and he says again, he says, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. What do we rejoice about? What are we going to rejoice about? Your salvation? If you can't find any reason to rejoice at all, you can find rejoicing in that, can't you? Your forgiveness? Isn't that worth rejoicing about? There's always reason to rejoice. God designed you to have that full tank. To continue doing anything, you got to find joy. With joy, any job is easy, isn't it? Do you feel joy and gladness? Do you express joy? Is it seen? Joy is our strength. Matter of fact, in Nehemiah, it says, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. I think we do a good job of that, don't you? He says, this day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you don't have the joy of the Lord, if you're not joyful in your salvation, you're going to struggle and you won't grow. But then, what if your face looks like a mule and you're sour? Then what? You know? Because some of you look sour. I mean, it's not that early. It's almost 12 o'clock. Maybe you're hungry. Well, the next thing you got to have is gentleness. Philippians 4:5 says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. What a great verse. What a wonderful step. We got to be gentle. You know what that means? It means you don't deal in extremes or emotional outburst. Some of you are in trouble. How many of you have emotional outburst? Just raise your hand. All of us do. Yeah. But you shouldn't. What good does that do you? We need boundaries for our interactions and stay within the lines. We got to not be carried away or easily swayed. Signs follow believers, not believers following the signs. In other words, do people look at you and they see your gentleness? Aristotle taught the golden rule. And so did Jesus. Treat people the way you want to be treated. It's simple, isn't it? But why don't we do it? Why don't we treat people the way we want to be treated? Because I know some of you don't want to be treated the way you treat other people. Of course, the next one is the one that's the easiest, right? He says, don't worry. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Don't worry. I mean, there was a great song about that when I was growing up, remember? Don't worry, be happy. It didn't work for him. You do know that he committed suicide, the man that wrote that song. He didn't practice what he preached. You know, think about this. You know, don't worry. And I don't normally read the Living Bible, but I like it in this one. It says, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Do you know that worry kills? Are you aware of that? Elevated blood pressure, ulcers, heart attacks. Show me any house that worry built. Show me one. You know, research has suggested and almost proved, but suggests that 70% of the people in the hospitals are there directly or indirectly because of worry. Worry. I mean, the psalmist, he wrote, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you and he will never let the righteous be shaken. Cast your cares on the Lord. What can you do about it anyway? The things you worry about. You know what I have found? I worry about the things I have no control over. Is that true? Because if I can control it, I don't worry about it. But I worry about things that I have no control over. And he says, give it to the Lord. You know, don't carry your burdens. You're designed to give it to the Lord. Praise brings God to us. Worry brings the enemy. Worry brings the enemy. And it almost like this in Isaiah. It says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. It almost suggests that worry is a kind of doubt. It's almost like, you know, if you're not at perfect peace, you don't have joy, and you're worrying a lot, you really don't trust God. Man, that's tough, isn't it? I know it. When I was putting this together and I read that and I thought, oh, Lord, I have failed a lot. I'm sorry. You know, I haven't trusted you as much as I should because I worried. But then there's the fifth step. I told you I was going to move pretty quick because I know you want to go to lunch. The fifth step is prayer and thanksgiving. But in everything, by prayer and thanksgiving. Did your mom have a pressure cooker? Maybe you had one that had the little thing on the stovetop. Now they got the Instapot. But they had that little thing, and just carry on the top. And mom would say, don't go over around that. It might blow up. Thanks, Mom. Make me feel better about you in the kitchen. You know. But that thing on the top was there to relieve pressure. Right, and then she would take it off and it'd whistle like a teapot, you know. Well, that's what daily prayer can do for us. It's a venting process. Prayer is praise. Prayer is petition. And a lot of worldly research, even the atheist, they even agree that there's value in prayer, in your health, in your mental health. You know, we sing songs like Sweet Hour of Prayer, and we pray for 15 seconds. Don't we? One thing the churches were guilty of, we'd have Wednesday night prayer service. And what it invited was, everybody come in, throw your prayer request up here. We'll say one prayer, and somebody will do a message. So our prayer service was one prayer. That's what we did. And we called it a prayer service. What it really was another church service that we called a prayer service. Now, listen. Prayer is what brings and supports growth. In Luke 11:9, Jesus said, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. You see, prayer is what fertilizes growth. Prayer is what fertilizes the growth and helps things to go once the seed is planted. And then there is controlled thinking patterns. Any of you got in trouble with the way you think? Some of you are thinking, I wish he'd shut up. But I use this verse a lot. And I use it a lot because I have to read it a lot because my thinking gets messed up. And I have to go back there and try to remember. You know, Philippians 4:8 suggests we need to control our minds on certain things. And it suggests avoiding certain things, certain thoughts. Trained minds think on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, admirable, noble, moral, praiseworthy, the good stuff. That's what you should be thinking about. But the problem is, we don't think about those things. Instead, we think about what else we're going to do, like what we're going to have for lunch instead of listening to Kirby on stage. Or what we want to watch on TV. Or what we've searched on Google. That's what's in our minds. Not the praiseworthy things. And then we wonder why we struggle to grow spiritually. Do you know how many times I've had people come up and say, well, I'm just not growing at this church. Well, whose fault is that? We have classes you can be a part of. We have people that will pray with you and talk with you. What are you doing when you're not here? That's where the growth really happens. Your heart will grow, but it has to happen other than at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. It means actually opening God's word and reading it. You know, if a man is his thinking will control his tongue and his work and his heart, I mean, it also suggests what you shouldn't think. And what are you thinking? Do you know that you're growing older? Do I need to tell you that? You're growing older at a rate of 1,440 minutes a day. That makes it feel better, doesn't it? Yeah, a bigger number, right? Well, you think about that. You're growing at 1,440 minutes a day, but what are you growing with your words and your deeds? What are you growing besides older? You can't stop time, but you can grow with time. Growth is a goal. Growth is planned. It's not accidental. And the big thing is, does your love grow? How many of you spend a lifetime looking for love? You know what we do? The minute we're born, we start looking for love. They write almost 99% of the songs that are produced have to do with love. They do, seeking love. And the best one was, you're looking for love in all the wrong places. Because it's true. We look for love in all the wrong places. When we have perfect love, and it came through Jesus. And God is love. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. The biggest key to growing spiritually is love. That's the number one thing. One of the best questions I was ever asked was, Kirby, do you love people? And I said, of course, but do you really love people? Let me ask you a question. Do you love people? You should. Jesus loved you enough to die for you. You should care about everyone in this room. You may not like them, but you should care for them and love them. I got a lot of people I don't like, but I still love. And I would never treat them badly. I may not like what they do. I may not like what they say. But I love them, and I love their soul, and I want to see them go to heaven. Isn't that true? So where is your heart? Do you love God with all of your heart, your mind, and your soul? Do you? If not, we've got a long ways to go. And we're going to work on that in 2025. We're going to work on growing closer to the Lord together. And you know what I believe? That if we get spiritually healthy as a church, people will be drawn to us because they want to be spiritually healthy. But it all starts here and here. You got to think the right thoughts, and you got to love with all your heart. And it starts by loving God. Because if you don't know God, this is your opportunity to come forward, confess Him as Lord, be baptized into Christ, receive the Holy Spirit, and know what it is to be truly loved. You don't really understand it till that moment, do you? Do you remember that? When you finally got it? That He loved you enough to save you? That He loved you enough to go to that cross for you? You can make that decision today. Now, for those of you who made that decision, some of you many years ago, and you've grown to a point but you find yourself stopped. You go through the motions, you know, you put out the leaves and it falls off every year, and you just kind of go through the motions, never growing. Maybe it's time to say, Lord, I'm ready to grow again. I'm going to put in the work and the effort to see that happen. If that's you, we're going to give you lots of opportunities to join classes, to get plugged in and do things together and grow together. I'm excited for 2025 because I believe that Real Life Christian Church is the best church in town. And it's because of the way we love people. It's because we love you right where you are. And we want to see you better. So let's make those decisions together. Let's decide that 2025 is the year we grow together. Let's do that as we stand and sing.
One, two, one, two, three, four. Verse. Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside of me.
Today, I know it's kind of nasty out, but you came to church. It's not cold. Cold was yesterday morning, but it's going to get colder. So you all stay warm, and let's grow together. What do you think? All right. Hey, let's go out and be the church. And don't forget, if you'll go out here in the lobbies, there's a Bible reading plan out there for you all to help you get through it. It's a chronological Bible reading plan. You can check it off each day. And you can get through it. There's one on each side. You can pick one up and go through it together. And then everybody's reading on the same page. What better way to grow together than all of us reading the Bible together? Right? Okay. I'm not going to go through any more announcements. We've got a lot more to come. We're just getting started. All right. Kenny, will you dismiss us?
Please bow your heads. Dear God, it's the first day of the week, but it's also the first Sunday of the year. And we just have so much ahead of us, so as you do all the time, please just watch over us. You take your blessings to us and you multiply them for your benefit. So thank you so much for that, and just be with us as we go about our lives, and we be the church in your name. Amen.